Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Ray.
All right. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Al, can you start us?
Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that Director Schneider is not here tonight. All the other directors are present. Can I have a motion to accept the agenda, please?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. The agenda is approved. And we'll do public comments first.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No problem. John Lanoux, one thing that's really, many of you know where McDonald's is. So we're at the 15 and the 138.
Yep.
Well, we're in the process of building a new monument over there, Camp Cajon Monument. I can go into a great deal of detail, but you can see me after the meeting about that. But anyhow, after over $3,000 in permits between the Forest Service and the county, we were able to break ground last week, get the footing dug and the concrete poured and the reinforcing steel in. This weekend we're going to start putting in the concrete blocks that will be on the inside of the monument and stone on the outside. So just want everybody to know we're going to have the dedication ceremonies on July 4th, Thursday, July 4th. And so everybody's welcome. And we will have more information in the newspaper as time goes along. One other thing, this Saturday, or this week, is Wrightwood property owners clean up the highway. So if any of you are interested in doing that, why see Randy after the meeting. He knows when and where we're supposed to meet and all the items that we have to pick up trash with. Last 2 months ago, we do it every 2 months. But 2 months ago, we had snow on the highway, so we couldn't pick up the trash. So there's quite a bit of stuff out there this time. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Come on up to the mic.
Hi, Daryl Sykes, this thing, I guess it works. Mm-hmm. Business owner, 20 years, resident, 26 years. Came to tell the CSD that a lot of people in town think you're doing a good job. I, for one, we appreciate the portable toilets. We appreciate the softball. It's been a real success. A lot of things you guys are doing, I know you hear a lot of negatives. I wanted to bring positives. So
right.
I just wanted to say thank you. And it's nice to have your phone number. So when the burglar alarm goes off, I can call you. And it only goes off once. Back when the county ran it, it could go for days. So I for one, think the CSD is doing a really good job in its infancy. And I know it's not on the agenda, but you represent the people of Wrightwood. I have over 30 signatures of people in favor of a wind generator. So I'm collecting more. I'll leave these with you. Two of them are Pacific Trail hikers that have no issues from out of the country. So can I leave these with you?
Sure.
All right.
Sure. Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you,
Daryl.
Thank you.
The
CSD of
Michigan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Okay. Move on to agency reports. Are there any agencies here, Susan?
Good evening. Susan Drake from County Supervisor Lovinger's office.
Just a couple quick notes so you know what's going on in the county. Supervisor Lovingood has been advocating for a long time for greater emphasis on workman's compensation fraud, and this particularly is good news for people that own businesses as your rates keep going up. But the new district attorney, Jason Anderson, has been focusing on the issue, and actually they've partnered with three other counties and got an indictment against a large medical group that operates in L.A., Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties that's falsifying paperwork.
Is that published somewhere, the name of that firm and everything?
It's Blue Oak Medical Group.
Blue Oak Medical
Group. It was up in the newspaper.
Yes.
Not that I have this very issue right now.
They had over 50 witnesses in front of the grand jury, and there's 180 felony counts of insurance fraud-related crimes against that firm. So that'll trickle down to rates and also trickle down, as it appears in the media, to people that are committing this kind of fraud and personally as workers. And hopefully it will bring down everybody's rates as we continue on with that quest. Also, the supervisor was advocating in Washington, D.C. with the Veterans Administration to talk about further reducing veteran homelessness. The County Office of Veterans Affairs, of which we're very proud, served 34,100 veterans and their families last year and housed 155 homeless vets. We are having our Veterans Resource Fair to help people in our county on May 30th in Apple Valley at the Conference Center. If anyone knows or is a veteran, we'd love to see you there. Also, lastly, General Atomics broke ground on a $40 million expansion in El Mirage, and they promised to offer at least 2,000 more employees work at that facility. It's a 12-month construction phase, but it also trickles down to many of our other small businesses, Cooley Construction, Cox Plumbing, Kelly's Underground, and many, many more that are helping to build that facility. So we were all out there for the groundbreaking. It's just really excellent to see great companies like this that hire a lot of young people in our communities to work there. So thank you. Does anybody have any questions I might be able to answer?
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Any other agencies? I don't see any other agencies. I'm sorry, John, did you have something?
Yes, unless there's somebody else. Real quick.
Okay.
Just wanted everybody to know that next month for the CSD meeting, Caltrans will be here. Eric Casingo, who's in charge of our district, they're going to be talking about the widening of the bridge on Highway 138 at Sheep Creek. It's going to take over a year, so there will be traffic one lanes off and on during that period of time. So we're something to have to put up with.
Is it 138?
Did I say 138?
Yes.
The other 138. Highway 2. Highway 2 and Sheep Creek.
Are they going to give us the...
No, there will be no widening of it. It's still going to be two lanes. There will be 8 feet of paved shoulder. I asked them. They sent me 70 pages of the drawings. The cross-sectional drawings do not show. We asked over 2 years ago to have a walking path on the south side, but they're not going to do that for us. So, anyhow, next month they'll be here.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Okay, let's move on to the consent calendar. We have the last board meeting minutes. Somebody check those out?
Yeah, I checked them out. They're good for
they
me.
Look okay.
Excellent.
And then we have...
Good job on the minutes.
Huh? All right.
Yeah, good job. Tammy.
Thank you.
Passing that book over there.
Thank you.
Hi.
And the sunshine ordinance, I think that's for the 6:30 for the new the change, right?
Correct.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
Yeah, I motion to accept the consent calendar, both the regular board meetings and the sunshine.
All those in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Consent calendar carries. General manager report.
I just got a text message
message from Sergeant Bakari. He's held up with a stolen car and wants to know if you would like him to come up to give his report after 7 p.m.
Sure. If he has time. General Manager's report. Al?
I think I've written a pretty thorough report. Are there any questions?
I have a couple questions on the grant, but we can do that when we get to that portion.
Okay.
Anybody got any questions over there? Looking it over?
No, I see that you're taking a little time off here. So we'll be okay with Henry running the show, I guess.
Yes, we should be pretty good about that. We'll have a lot of things taken care of before I leave. And just a little hiatus.
So does that go towards your vacation time, or is that...
No, I'm not claiming anything.
So you think you're going to work, but not here?
I'll do some stuff over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not for that.
Why can't we do the same thing what we did last time?
It's up to you.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to call in and check on things, we'll have Tammy record the hours.
Sure.
Okay.
Modification to our contract?
I'll get with you.
Okay.
Anything else on there?
Are these the new tapes?
These are the new tapes.
Yes, they are. Okay. And chairs? All right.
Nice and clean, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to the March financials. Now, the March financials are just basically the disbursements, right? We don't really have the March financials in here.
I don't have the items from that normally come in from Sicilia. I just have what I
Do we have it or do you have it?
No,
we don't have it at all. And what's the expectation on that for each month when she turns in that? When do we get those back?
We usually get them back at the beginning of the month, right?
I mean, it's April 8th, so.
Yeah, it's usually within the first week.
Okay. So we don't have them yet.
No.
And one of my concerns is that. You know, some of the items just aren't posted right. For example, we have balance sheet items that are on the expense side.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the property tax divided up properly. You know, we have the dump fees and the property tax reversed or commingled in there, and that they need to be separated out.
Right.
And I've asked for that. I guess we have a meeting set up.
We have a meeting that, I think, for the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
At 3 p.m., yeah.
This is all due to tax season that she's involved with?
Correct. The way she explained it to me was that once the government shut down, they still did taxes, but they couldn't input it into the government. And so when they got back up, she had such an influx on that. And then with the inclement weather that we had in 4 days and stuff like that, she had to make some adjustments and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When do we expect the? I guess is Cecilia here tonight?
No, she's not.
Okay. So we don't know when we're going to get the March financials.
I would say we're probably going to get everything caught up.
I mean, I can't accept this as. I mean, I'm not going to say that I accept the March financials if we don't have them.
Right. We just have the disbursements.
Yeah, we don't have the March financials. We can't accept them.
The other thing that I noticed, Al, is the monthly hours of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
if we're going to continue to be at these hours, which is, you know, based on results, it looks like it's going to be, then we need to, that's another one that we need to reassess our budget. Because we're going over the 80 hours for the park and Tammy, which, you know, if that's what is, that's what is, but our budget doesn't reflect that for those two positions.
I think what you're seeing this particular month on this chart is the inclusion of doing stuff for the audit. But we're pretty much caught up on that.
Pretty
close, yes. Yeah, we're pretty much caught up on that.
So next month, Tammy will be at 80, and Jamie will be at 80, and you'll be at 100.
So this is for the month of April?
No, if you can see here on this, this portion, it's each month that they're doing. All I did is add them up and divide by the 9 months.
You're talking about the month of April.
Right. Month of April, coming up. Okay, great. Look forward to it.
Okay, so there's nothing to do in the March finance. Any other questions, though, on the disbursements? We do have that.
I will say that we'll be sending out a check for the skate park.
Right, you had mentioned that, yeah.
That's the $27,000?
Right. Yeah. And then we only have one less.
When is the $10,000 for the election each month? When does that get paid?
January.
Okay. And what do we have? Eight or?
Six
years.
Left. There was six total, and then I think we have four left, right?
We have
four left.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting about the skate park.
Yeah. And thank you for putting the variance start dates on the facility rental chart. Whoever did that, thank you. And we only have four variances?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay. Or one more to come, I guess.
I really do want to see that income. I want to see that property tax versus solid waste, and I just got to see that. It's just mixed up, and I just got to see it.
When we get to the budget part,
yeah,
packet,
yeah,
you'll see that I broke that all down.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just on the budget, though. But I'm talking
actual.
I want to see that. Like, what do we get so far?
I have that on there.
I didn't see it, but okay. Well, we'll get to that.
Right.
We'll go put it on there. Okay, there's nothing to do in the March financials. We'll have to wait till next time on that, which is not too much longer. Now, Steve, since this is a special meeting, I did want to bring up a couple things. Should I bring that up in the director's comments? Just some operational stuff on the Sunshine Ordinance. I should have brought it up then.
Whenever you feel, you're not asking for any action to be taken.
No, I just want to communicate.
Inquiry?
Yeah.
Well, if it's related to the Sunshine Ordinance, we can talk about that now.
Okay, all right. I'd like to do that, if you guys don't mind. So in that, you know, we have to post 72 hours ahead for a regular board meeting.
Correct.
Right. And then for a special board meeting, it's 24 hours.
Right.
Right. And it's, you know, I looked through there's been an amendment. Everybody see my email on it? There's been an amendment to the Brown Act that says, I forget what that, what's the, it's AB, what is it?
2257,
right. So that says that you have to treat the website the same as you would. I'm paraphrasing here, but you have to treat the website the same as you would as the physical posting.
Correct.
Okay, and that we need to get, the reason why we're doing this special board meeting tonight is because we didn't do that.
Right.
Right, and we need to post it in there on the website, and it needs to be distributed on the mailing list during that posting period.
Within that period.
72 right.
or 24
right.
hours.
Right. Right.
So there's okay. so there's four postings in, three out physically.
Yeah.
And then the website.
Right. And the website's designed to do this automatically. Once you post it, you make a blog post that sends it out to everybody on the mailing list. So that's all handled, but we just have to do it. And I'll say to you guys, if you run into a problem, you got to call me. Right? It was a little... We had a blank posting and a duplicate in there and some things like that. So just call me. I'm happy to walk anybody through it.
And those four postings are on the Sunshine Ordinance that we got in the packet. Number four is the website.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we're clear on that, that that's the policy. Okay.
And Steve, where number four, it says, as soon as possible, the full agenda packet shall be posted on the district website.
Well, no, that'll all be at the same time. So.
Well, that's why I was asking.
Yeah, okay. No, we're going to do that. Because the website's designed, we can put the packet up there and everything up there.
Right.
And it'll send out automatically all to 72 email IDs that we have.
Right.
Right.
You're right. So the idea is that there would be the physical posting
right.
at the three places, and that the entire agenda packet would be posted on your website, all prior to the deadline, depending
right.
on whether or not it's a regular meeting or a special meeting.
Yeah, I was just questioning it where it says as soon as possible.
Yeah, so as soon as possible means that in this context, the rest of that paragraph doesn't say 24 hours or 72 hours.
Right.
So to me, the as soon as possible is a reflection of the board's intent to get the website posting as priority over the physical posting. The physical posting doesn't have the as soon as possible language on there. But all of it is contingent upon getting it all done within either the 72 or 24 hours, whichever one's applicable. Getting the full agenda packet to those that have, to the members of the public that have made the affirmative act to request that information and to have that information, I think takes priority over physically posting at the three locations within the district. And also, reflects the intent of the board to comply with 20.
Right. So let me ask this question. If we don't get the packet, you know, this stuff, on the website within that 72-hour window, are we not in compliance with the Brown Act again, like tonight?
Yeah, so that was something that happened before the regular meeting that was scheduled last week.
Right.
And I will say that I give credit to President Zuber
right.
specifically in adherence to that level of transparency.
Right.
That to reschedule a meeting so that the members of the public have as much information as the board has,
right.
so that the input from the public. Is taken with that level of value, I think reflects over and above the intent of the board to be both transparent and to involve the public in the
right.
process of your decision making, and so for the board to agree to that and to attend this meeting on short notice, I think says a lot about it.
And the intent of the board is that we get that packet out 72 hours beforehand, correct?
Right.
Okay.
At a minimum, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, at a minimum.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Item 9, Lions Club co-membership.
Vicki Reinig.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi. We have a couple things that we're requesting. One is a variance for a game night. And our first one was last March. We had a very good response. Everybody wants to do it monthly. And it really falls under the category of park and recreation. I believe it does anyway. And so we're asking for a variance, not the whole thing, but I think if we split it between the two, the CSD and Timberline Lions, kind of co-sponsor the event, but we would do all the whole operation there. The other variance is the annual Easter event that we held for 30 plus years, and that's pretty extensive. We have the building from 7 to the till about noon or 1 whenever we're done cleaning, and the kitchen. And so we're asking for a variance on that as well. And we still have all the insurance requirements and the cleaning deposits and any damage that we have. And that's basically what it is. Again, a lot of communities have both those activities in their park and recreation catalog. I know in Arcadia, I just got theirs. They have a big Easter thing. They also have a breakfast with Santa. They sponsor that. They do many different game nights, senior nights. And that's where, you know, I'm coming from.
Is the game night, is that the bingo?
It's bunco. We sold the bingo equipment. It was stored in that room. It was a big cumbersome machine and a pain in the neck. And people that we did the bunco with, which is a different type of game, it's a lot easier, less supplies, less hassle of setting it up, and it's a fast-moving. People constantly trade seats, so they meet new people, and you know, we have name tags, so people meet new people as well, and have a good time. Just light refreshments, no alcohol.
Sorry, Steve. Okay.
So the game night, I'm estimating to be about $612 for the year. And so I'm requesting a variance to be $360 for the rent that we would pay. And that goes, we're going through October. We figure November and December and January is probably too cold and too snowy. You never know.
Hopefully.
Easter, because we have a kitchen and this room gets kind of expensive, and it's really a cover expenses. We don't really make money on the Easter breakfast. It's a community thing. And we have all the breakfast supplies. So the tickets that we sell for the breakfast is paid for the supplies and pays hopefully for the rent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I support both of these ideas, and I thank you for organizing them. So,
you support the variance?
Yes, I do.
I do not. I think we have very fair rates.
I agree with Vicki that these are, you know, parks and recreation events, and that, you know, co-sponsoring them is a good act for the CSD to, you know, promote it, as well as the Lions Club, kind of to work together, and it is parks and recreation.
Well, almost. I mean, under that definition, just everything could be parks and rec, right? I mean, why can't they have more successful games and get the rent?
I don't have an answer to that. I just want to support them.
Okay. All right.
I would agree with both of these variances as well. I know
okay.
There's a lot of activities with the Lions Club, and I think having the breakfast here on Sunday Easter morning, I've been here
mm-hmm.
and experienced that, as well as I've experienced a number of times playing bingo.
Well, how much is it to rent it out for what are we talking for the Easter as an example?
The day with it's $170.
I'll donate the $170. I'll donate the $170. I'd rather do that than I'm happy to do that, because I think that's where it should be. I think that I don't agree with the variance.
The Lions Club is also holding their monthly regular meeting, and we're not asking variances on that. We're paying the full ticket price. So just to let you know that there are some things that we realize are not a community activity.
Okay.
Well, I think, you know, I support it also. It's it's history within Wrightwood. They've been doing it for 30 or 40 years longer type of thing. It's part of the community. So given the fact of what we've done throughout the last year and a half, I believe they are entitled, so to speak, for what they do, and they donate back to the community. So that part of it, I think the game night is
But why do the taxpayers have to subsidize that instead of, since it is a charity,
right?
Why can't their members step up and pay the fair rate?
Certainly a point of view, but I believe I put that out for a couple other organizations, and that was not the case.
Okay.
If we're going to be consistent and we allow some people to have it, and which it's basically the same thing. It's not Parks and Rec. It's not, and I'm talking all the other variances also. I know the Lions
Club
doesn't.
But we're talking about this today.
I understand that. And
okay.
we're looking at an organization that donates mm-hmm. to the town, that they've had an event for 30 years and haven't had to pay for it. And, you know, the bingo or the what's it
bunko.
Called? The bunko. You know?
Nice.
Oh, okay. Watch it. We got the sheriff showed up again. So watch what you're talking about with the bunko. But, you know, that's something for the senior citizens also. And, you know, I would be for it. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. All right. All those in favor of the variance?
Well, we
have a motion for that? Or?
We need a motion.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So
need a motion for that.
Are we saying that we're going to put this one variance aside for the breakfast? And leave that alone, and just do the variance, just for.
I'll donate for the breakfast. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
there's only one variance this evening. Then it would be for. I'll make a motion to approve a variance for game night, and it's a variance of $360 for 2019.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed, no. All right, the motion carries. All right. Item 10, surplus of tables and chairs. So we're looking to donate these chairs and tables, Al?
Yes, I've been in contact with the Fountain of Living Water, of course, Word Church, and Phelan. And I would say we have a representative here from that church.
Can I ask you a couple questions about it, though, first? Did you try for somebody up here? Is there anybody in Wrightwood at some of the churches or anybody like that?
Nobody contacted me or...
We should probably throw that on. I would suggest throw that on Facebook, CSB Facebook.
Put it on the website. And
put it
on Facebook.
You know, we have five churches up here, plus we have a couple camps. And I talked to a couple people that are involved in the church, not the pastors or that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know anything about this aspect. And given the fact we're Wrightwood CSD, I would like to give them the first shot if somebody's interested in taking those to donate them to, you know, a Wrightwood organization. You know, if nobody up here wants it, then great. Then we go to Phelan and donate it, you know, type of thing. But I just think we should give our own community the first shot at it. And if we would have to push this off until the next meeting and during this month,
we contact the different organizations up here at Wrightwood, and if there is interest in picking them up, then we do it, and then we vote on this next month. But right now, I'm not inclined to do it until I know what the churches and the camps, their opinion is.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to table this till next month,
yeah.
And I'll do some more research.
Because I'm sure the Lions Club will be, Lions Camp up there will be.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I would like to hear from the.
Definitely.
I mean, we don't want them to.
No, no.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just come up here for no reason here.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you like to speak for a moment?
My name's Don Anderson. I represent Pastor Dowd Traore, the senior pastor of the Four Square Church. And as many of you probably don't know, we're putting up a building on Johnson Road, and I've been with that church for about 30 years. That building is almost complete now. It's debt-free. We were going to take out a loan, but we've put in a little over $400,000 at the moment, and we're about $60,000 from completion.
Well, congratulations.
And, all right.
So
yes.
It's all debt-free. Thank you. But that doesn't happen without donations from everyone that attends the church and the community. It doesn't happen with just the members of the church. And is it the Sunshine Church up at the end of town, the big log building church? They donate 110 very, I don't know if these are the chairs. I have no idea what chairs you're talking about.
Those are right there.
Very, very similar chairs.
Yeah.
They donated 110 about 4 years ago, a very similar chair. So whatever you guys decide is fine with us. I'm just representing the church there, so
right. Okay.
I can say that we would appreciate the chairs if that's what you decide, but if you decide to give them to someone else, that's fine with us also, but just appreciate your consent.
Well, thanks very
right.
much,
thank
and thanks
you.
For coming
appreciate
up.
Appreciate you coming
no
up,
no
yeah.
Problem.
Craig, congratulations on that new building.
Yeah, well, you know, luck. We were going to take out a loan, and you're talking a big payment, which crushes a lot of churches, and then you're not allowed to give. And I would like to say that when churches, like a lot of the Bunko, that give back into the community, that's what churches are for. So donations build churches, but then those donations go out to the less fortunate. So hopefully that's the way our church operates.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, if I may. I don't want to be like a wet blanket on anything, but when it comes to surplus property that is public property, it does get a little tricky in
okay.
donating public property to a private organization. Not that it can't be done, but my suggestion would be that since it seems to be that the inclination of the board would be to table this for a month, that perhaps we bring back a policy for disposal of surplus property that would allow for the board to declare it surplus and then perhaps create an open opportunity for anyone to bid on it.
Even a 501(c), because it's public property, so therefore the public should be given a shot at it.
Well,
in some structured manner.
The public has an interest in it. There perhaps could be
okay.
value to the property.
Okay.
And so the typical process would be that when property is declared surplus, then there's sort of a bidding process, and that money would come back to the district. If the surplus property is basically just has salvage value, and there really isn't any value beyond that, then that is usually an additional determination by the board. And at that point, the board can give direction to its general manager as to.
So the board can declare those chairs salvage value,
yes.
And then we could give it to a church.
Correct.
As long as that
determination is sort of a non-denominational one.
Is this an ordinance? You said it's a policy.
Policy that would be adopted by resolution.
Okay. All right.
And you could craft something up.
Yeah, if the board has any specific direction you want to give me in crafting that.
I think exactly what you said, and I'm sure you've got this already from Phelan, right?
I don't actually know.
Or Hellendale?
They have one.
Does Phelan have one?
Or Allendale's got to have one.
Oh, I've drafted them up before, for sure.
Yeah. They're in your, it's in a folder, right? You just click, change the name.
No, it's not that. It's not that simple.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because each entity does have a certain amount of different discretion as to how they want to dispose of it.
Well, let's talk about that guidance right now. Then we could just do it all at once. What questions might you have? What would be the parameters?
Kind of the way it would work would be there would be determination by the board as to whether or not the property is surplus, that it's no longer needed for district use.
Yeah.
Once that determination is made, then it's up to the board to decide how to dispose of it. Options are that you could that you could put it out for bid, you could put it on eBay, and again we're not only talking about chairs and tables. There may be other types of equipment down the road would
it be a value, though, as something that we deem that's below $300?
Yeah. Because,
hey, this is salvage value. Then we wouldn't have to put it on eBay.
Yes. The board would make that determination whether or not it's something where there would be any financial benefit to the district.
Oh, I see.
Board members could not bid on it. Staff could not bid on it.
Right.
Consultants could not bid on it. Anyone that might have a conflict of interest could not bid on it. So you could do it that way. It could be silent bid. It could be through an auction house. It could be through eBay.
But that's only if we declare it to have some financial value.
That it has value.
Okay.
If it does not have value, the board declares that it's salvage, then typically it goes to another public agency. There is a request made whether or not another public entity needs it, for instance, the school, and whether or not the school would need it, because that way at least it's being used, this taxpayer money is paid for it, so
okay.
It's given to
another. So we'd offer it to the local government, whatever that, like you
said,
a school or...
A school, you could offer it to Snowline.
Sure.
If they need it.
And they, if they say no,
if
then
they
we
say
can,
no,
okay.
Then it could be... disposed of at the discretion
okay.
of the board or at the discretion.
Could you offer it to a camp? Because we got a couple camps up here.
Sure.
After you do this, so the public agencies would be first.
Typical. Again, that's not legally required.
Okay.
But that's the issue that you run into is actually a constitutional one under the gift of public funds. The California Constitution prohibits public entities from giving a gift to the public fund.
Okay.
So that's what you would want to avoid.
Okay. All right. Let us finish our discussion here, John, and I'll get to you right after this, okay? Okay, so, all right. So could you draft up something like that? Is there any parameters that you would need? Any questions of us on
No, that's sort of what I'm looking at is whether or not whether or not you want to have.
I don't think I want the if it's not legally required. I would not want the public stuff first. If you guys agree.
I agree.
If it's not legally required, then no. It'd just be a lot easier if we can. Just declare it as salvage if it is and doesn't have any value and then give it to another charity.
Yeah. Well, what Hallandale does, all this is coming back, what Hallandale does is as an incentive for saving a district, making the most use of district equipment, is that if the board declares a surplus, then it goes out to bid, and any money that's received goes into sort of an employee appreciation fund
mm-hmm.
that gets used for holiday events or something like that.
Sounding better already.
mm-hmm.
But it's tied back into a public use.
Okay.
I can put something together, and then the board can take a look at it.
Okay.
Once you adopt that policy, that could be dovetailed into this.
Could you send it to us first, we could look at it and be ready. Could you send it to the whole board so if when it's on the agenda next month, we could just say, yeah, this is good.
Well, I can send it for be ready purposes.
Okay.
The concern is to send it for editing, and that creates a Brown Act problem when the board is deliberating over a document.
I really hate this Brown Act.
Well, you'd be deliberating
over
a document.
Hey.
So it's just as good as sending it or when it's in the packet?
I could send it so that you're familiar with it enough where any questions that you have could be asked. I mean, there isn't anything in the Brown Act that prohibits a call to me or a private email to me saying, what does this mean?
Okay.
Fine. As long as there isn't any collective concurrence that's being developed by the board outside of a board.
Yeah, it's all going to the spokes are going to you. They're not
then it's incumbent upon me not to then say, well, I talked to Director Hornike about this and what he said.
Okay.
So
all
I
right.
can't do that. That would be fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'd like to see that.
Okay.
Okay. So we can do that in an organized manner, and then that policy would live for years.
Yeah. Or until you've decided to modify it.
Right. Right. Okay. All right, that sounds good. And, John, did you have a comment?
Yes, John Manu. It was mentioned earlier by the board during this discussion that maybe we could give it to or sell it to, auction it to Wrightwood entities first. Is there any way something like that could be worded into that document?
Of course.
We have a certain amount of time, and if not, then we could take it to the outside.
If that's the direction of the board, yes, that can be added for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So.
All right. Thank you, John.
President Zuber, if we could go to the agencies, we've got two of them.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Could we have the agencies again, please?
Thank you for that direction.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert Picari with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Sorry I'm late. I got tied up.
Well, did you get him or what?
Well, I got the car.
Oh, that's good.
Unfortunately. Usually, Mr. Manu has it all tall enough for me so I can just... I like going after him. So last month in the community of Brightwood, we had a total of 129 calls for service and 7 reports were taken. There were no arrests. Your high call volumes in Brightwood were burglar alarms at 15, area checks at 11, 911 follow-ups at 9, extra patrols at 9, and just regular follow-ups at 8. In the community of West Cajon Valley, there was barely anything, with 26 calls for service, 2 reports taken, both of those were for arrests, and their high call volumes were disturbing the peace at 2, area checks at 2, follow-ups at 2, and welfare checks at 2.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I don't have any questions.
Okay.
No, Michelle's not here.
Yes.
Do you have jurisdiction over homeless, and if so, what are your parameters?
We do have jurisdiction over the homeless, and we do actually have a host team that works out of our main office, and they come up and deal with either homeless or transient issues. As you can see from the way laws are being written and the movement through the 9th District Court of Appeals is that homeless is not a crime. So if you're out and about, we used to have what was called a letter of agency, which is what businesses would sign, basically saying that in their absence, that somebody who was found sleeping in front of the doorway at Stater Brothers, we could arrest them on the spot, and they're saying we don't condone that, and we can make the arrest. That's no longer the case. They have to respond, tell us what they want. They have to be deemed a trespasser because homeless is not a crime.
Continuing with that, what about homeless camping on private or public property?
The homeless camping on public or private property. If it's public property, then we have jurisdiction over that. The problem is it's not public property, it's all private property. All of that desert that you see from Wrightwood is owned by somebody. And then we need to contact the property owners and have them contact. They got to put up no trespassing signs, and then they've got to come out and tell somebody, and you're going to find out that we have to get code enforcement involved. And code enforcement contacts these property owners that are living in Texas, and they don't care who's on the property because there's nothing there anyways, and if it all burns down, it burns down. It'll grow back by the time I come back. That's what we hear. So that, no, they don't want to be a victim, and they don't care either.
This last question.
Trying to get our HOPE team involved with motivating some of the people that want to actually find assistance and don't want to be homeless. But you'll find if you go contact most of the homeless people, they're homeless by choice.
And if it's on Caltrans property?
On Caltrans property, that would depend on where that property was. If they've got somebody that's camping on their property and they want to make a citizen's arrest, then we will come over and take care of that. But remember, it's just a misdemeanor. That's going to move them along for the night. And I would think it would be much nicer to camp in, like, Newport Beach rather than Phelan. But if you take them down to Rancho Cucamonga, they'll come right back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that depressing. Yeah, it's okay.
The thing through the Ninth Circuit Court just came out. I got the email. It's been in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But they have basically said being homeless is not a crime.
Okay.
So.
Great. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You got the FD.
Captain Mark Wright?
Yep.
Get the smoke out of your room.
I wish it was. It's going to be cold for the second time now. For 15 EMS calls in the Wrightwood area in the last month and about a month and a half, 10 of those were for the Pinion Hills Phelan area. Either the engine and or the ambulance went to support those calls. And five vehicle accidents within the tri-community area. We're getting a lot of phone calls, which I understand. There's been an issue of a burn permit down off Highway 2, down by the Hillside Church area, down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate that everybody's calling to let us know there was a fire that was going on down there. And then we were able to explain to them that it was an actual burn. I didn't know that area that we issued burn, but we didn't issue it from here. They do the feeling, but it's basically desert front area towards Highway 138 in the desertous region area. There's a map in there where you can have, even though it falls down to like a Wrightwood PO box, it doesn't physically put them in the forest boundary area, so. Okay for those areas.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, item 11, bookkeeper contract renewal.
Al, when was her contract? What was it? What was the time period for her contract originally?
Do you mean for now, or you mean for the first time around?
I think we're looking for the start and the term of the contract.
Right.
She's out of contract right now.
She's out of contract right now. And so, what are we paying?
July 1st, 2018 to June
30th. Yeah.
Okay.
That's from her stuff that she sent us.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we paying? What's our contract say?
It's last page.
Those are the different... this one here.
So I don't know if it went up from last year to this year.
I don't believe so. I think that was...
No, he's not raising anything.
That was from the original, I believe, Leo.
What did we pay for what did we pay for the month of February and January? Do we know that?
We got the
for March. I guess we might have the disbursement for March.
We don't have a
no.
Okay.
We don't have a disbursement from her.
Okay.
For the last couple of months.
We don't.
Mm-hmm. When did she actually start back? Was it 2018? So 2018 is when he...
I want to say, I think it was January.
Because we went, you know, 6 months before she actually started doing the stuff. Because we didn't have her at that moment in time.
Well, you mean the district went 6 months prior to hiring her.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you're right. basically, initially... we interviewed, I want to say four, might be five local people who do bookkeeping.
Right.
And then we narrowed it down to Cecilia.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I was involved in that aspect of it. I wasn't here until after October, so I know it was later on the year when we actually got that aspect of it. Also, on her paperwork at the bottom, it says this, where is it? I need to read it.
Oh, sorry.
This one, we will prepare, review, and compile financial statements from the documents and information you provide to the Wrightwood, or provide of the Wrightwood Community Service District for the year July 1, 2018 to June 30th, 2019.
Well, for that year, right?
Yeah, so as far as my brain reads this saying, she's, you know, under contract until June 30th, and then we go into, at the start of the fiscal year here for the CSD,
mm-hmm.
July 1 would be when her contract would start up again if we renew it, and I'm not inclined to renew it, you know, 3 months beforehand, and I would love to meet with her on the 24th to see where, you know, the stuff that we've asked that she hasn't been able to do because of the tax season.
Or even put in here or come back to her and state that she's got to provide monthly financials.
Well,
yeah, I have a bunch of questions over here.
Yeah, you know,
that's pretty loose. This is very vague.
Yes, yeah. And it's a separate... When we first did this research and the whole bit, we had talked about the CPA or the bookkeeper, they would help on setting up the
QuickBooks.
They would help in determining what monthly reports that we would be using. And they would help the initial office to, you know, see how they were doing on inputting it. And we were to input it. She was just on a monthly basis to go back and see, hey, are we doing it correct? Then it morphed into she's doing the input or her office is doing the input and we're paying her for, you know, that inputting aspect of it. And I certainly don't know what the background was of why it morphed into that, but that was the original thing that we had talked about to the four people that we had requested an RFP from, that type of thing. So I'm not sure where that is, but that is certainly an issue.
Because if you look at paragraph 2,
yes,
on her letter, you are responsible and assuming all management responsibilities and for overseeing the bookkeeping services, payroll services, and other services we provide by designating an individual within management who poses suitable skills, knowledgeable, and or experience. In addition, you are responsible for evaluating
Yeah, no, I agree. That's basically, I'm not accountable for anything. I'll just get paid. So, excuse me. So anyway, I feel more comfortable even delving into this once we get a chance to meet with her.
Oh, yeah.
But if I remember correctly, President Zuber's been asking to meet for a couple months.
Right.
And we haven't been able to tie her down to get that meeting. So I'm opposed to doing a renewal at this moment in time.
Yeah, me too. We might evaluate some other CPAs. But like to talk to her first though.
Yeah, we also have to be careful because don't we have the audit going through.
Yes.
Well, I don't know that we have to. The audit has nothing to do with her. It's separate. Separate.
Okay, I guess we'll push on that one.
Yeah, we'll push on this. And I might suggest that I think that the payroll, we might be able to benefit from having ADP do the payroll. There's a couple reasons for that. First of all, ADP is huge, huge company. They're very responsive. They also have an app that you can put on your phone where people can clock in and out and keep the exact hours.
Huh.
Of right from your phone. It uses the GPS, so you have to be within a certain area around where you might clock in, and then you can clock in and then clock out, and then they keep full track of that. It's much easier to manage. So I would love something like that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, we have 3 employees.
Right. It's still.
I know, but that would be nice. So.
Yeah. You do it right from your phone. It's great.
And then they send the checks in the mail, right?
Yeah, it's just or direct deposit.
Direct deposit.
Yeah, they just do direct deposit. Does she do that now, or?
She doesn't do direct deposit because we're not set up for it.
Yeah, okay.
And we also have a 1099 coming up, too, besides the employee. Independent contractor.
Yeah,
there's
nothing to do with this, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume she's going to want to get paid, though.
Okay, so I have several questions, though, from her on this.
Sure.
I think both Chuck and I have that. Is there any questions you would like us to ask in that 24th meeting?
I think you got it.
Okay. And could I ask for a different date on that? Because I'm committed on Wednesday at 3.
What date were you doing?
Any other day. It could be Wednesday morning. It could be Friday. I could do Friday.
Actually, I think she had a morning open when she talked to me about that.
Okay.
I chose the latter one only because
yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Because I know that you usually are really busy on those.
Right.
Yeah. But I can talk to her and see.
Okay. Would you let me know and then Chuck and then
absolutely.
I'll let both of us know and then we'll. I'll be. I just can't be flexible that exact time. It's kind of not right to say I'll be flexible when I'm not being flexible. But thanks, Al.
No problem. So just to be clear, the meeting at 3:00 on the 24th. We should cancel that and try to get one earlier on that day.
It could even be in the morning on the 24th.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
What do you consider morning? 10, 9, 8?
Early as possible. Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I got an email from you at 4 a.m., so I'm not sure what time morning is.
Not that early. Okay? All right. Thanks. Thanks very much. All right. No action on bookkeeper. Resolution 2019-04, 2019-05, Prop 68 State Park Grant. Discussion of possible action. So we need a resolution to write the grant? Is that what the resolution's about?
Yeah, to participate. The state always requires that with their state park grants.
Yeah.
And this is just a template. We could even adjust it a little bit.
So, and it's not. And to be clear, the grant is just a grant. It's money. There's no, we're not getting a loan or something. It's a grant.
Right, it's a grant.
How much is it?
Well, on the minimum, it's $200,000. On the maximum, it's like, I want to say it's $8.5 million. But I'm looking at the $200,000 to $300,000 range.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, on both of these. And I might not even be able to do the other one.
Well, I've seen you write grants. You're pretty successful at it.
Well, I'm trying.
So that would be neat.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So when you said you're thinking about just doing one of them and not both, which one were you going to exclude?
There's, well, for one thing, we have to have some meetings with the community and get some more input from them. But overall, what I'm looking at is like one for like Vivian Knoll, which is this facility, parking lot, that park, and the Veterans Park. The other one would be on the other side of the street, which would include at least it's probably going to include a dog park. You know, there's a lot of requests for that.
There is, which I've never quite understood up here.
And I always ask. I don't
know. There just is.
Yeah.
The one on the other side, I'm not quite sure if I can reach 200,000.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I might come up short.
Okay.
But I would like both resolutions, because you can always pull one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can always go forward on the grant part, and then if you just can't get to, you know.
And did you write, you know, did Steve review these resolutions?
I did not.
Okay.
I reviewed them as part of the agenda material. I did not write these resolutions.
No, these are templates from the state.
Oh, okay. So they provide a template and say, mm-hmm. here's the resolution you should use. Here's okay. here's what we recommend.
Right.
Al, on the Vivian Knoll Park, 120-19-04, you got number one. It says certifies that said applicant has or will have available prior to commencement of any work on the project included in this application sufficient funds to complete the project. What does that mean? Because we don't have the sufficient funds unless we get the grant.
Well,
and the second thing says if it's awarded, the applicant will have sufficient funds to operate and maintain the project.
Right.
That I can see. I wasn't sure what one was.
Match that's required.
Okay. So what's number one in there for?
Well, that's like
just
say,
a template, or
it's just their template.
Okay.
And then for everything else, we can take that out. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And whenever we do it, the last paragraph it's adopted the second day of April. That goes back to our last meeting. So that's.
Oh yeah.
And when do you need this by, Al?
Beginning of May.
Like the next board meeting.
Next board meeting, be
okay. Because this will give time for Steve to.
Well, I mean, I've reviewed it as part of the agenda material.
If it's a template by the state, I don't think there's not much.
Well, you know, there's number three. I saw number one, but also number three certifies that the applicant has reviewed, understands, and agrees to the general provisions contained in the contract shown in the grant administration.
That was another question I had. Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen that, and so it's hard to know what we would be agreeing to.
Yeah.
Having not seen that, I understand that this is a template document. It looks similar to one that I believe I reviewed is with Phelan. But at that time, we did have the documents. We had the grant application, and we had the documents, and it wasn't sort of a.
Is the contract not online?
A carte blanche.
It is online. The whole thing, the whole package is online.
Okay.
I can send you a link.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to look at the contract myself, sure. And then can we feed it to Steve, and then I can put my comment and then feed it over to Steve?
Sure.
So we don't
right.
Incur a whole bunch of Steve time. Yeah, I mean, how long would it take you to review that? Who knows, right?
Well, the last one I reviewed for Finland, which was several years. 08. Yeah, 08. And, you know, it's pretty thick.
Yeah.
But it is grant money, so you know, it's.
I mean, you're not going to change. You can't negotiate that.
You can't negotiate.
That's what it is.
You're just looking for deal killers in there, and if it's.
It is what it is. Mainly, what you'll see in the contract is compliance with prevailing wages, compliance with CEQA. That's a big deal. So any work that gets done.
Yeah.
You're going to have to comply.
Well, that has to be part of the grant.
All the grant.
Yeah.
And if you don't comply with the grant, then they can come back and...
Claw it back. Yeah.
And that's part of the problem is sometimes the strings that get attached can be kind of scary. And I think it would be wise for the board to understand that as part of the approval. The language in here does give... authority to Al to negotiate it. So if there was something that came up that we weren't comfortable with, even if the board were to adopt this resolution tonight, if there was something that was in the contract that Al wasn't comfortable with, then that's the exit, is that Al would just not sign the document because there was some contract provisions that weren't acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in a perfect world, you want to obviously see what it is you're certifying as to having reviewed and understand.
Right. I mean, it would if we said, hey, Steve, can you look over this contract and spend 2 hours on it just looking for bad stuff in there, and if it looks looks okay, then...
Well, there will be bad stuff in it. It's just a matter of, will it be something for the board? Is it worth the board understanding what it is that where the
could you spend 2 hours on it and make a recommendation, or is that not enough time for something like that?
No, I mean, I'll do whatever you want to do on that.
Why don't we let Steve take 2 hours on the thing and see if he can find really bad stuff in there?
Only if we get to hold him accountable.
And he delivers.
Well, it's not his contract. It's not his contract. Can you get him a contract, Alan?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No problem. It's all one way.
Okay.
This will be.
And this will be on the agenda for next month, right?
Right. And okay. I'll distribute the
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Any public comments on this? Okay. All right. Item 13, solid waste commercial mandatory pickup recycling. This is the this is a resolution, right?
Two ordinances. Two ordinances. So
I think we're done with it, aren't we? With the changes?
I don't believe Al could speak to any changes. I haven't received any changes since these documents were presented to the board
right.
a couple months ago.
Right.
Correct.
The process would be that this is more or less for ordinances.
Right.
Because they are enforced differently than resolutions. There is a first reading and a second reading.
Oh yeah.
And so this would qualify as the first reading. If you look at the provisions in both ordinances that talk about publication, the board will direct staff to publish a summary of both ordinances 5 days in advance of your next board meeting.
Okay.
And then and to post the ordinances at the district office.
Okay.
And then at your next meeting.
To put on the website too? Probably.
Sure. And then at your next meeting, the board can adopt both ordinances, and then we would need to publish both those documents within 15 days thereafter.
Okay. Now, what is the what's the fine if somebody is that in there? What is the fine for somebody not
comply,
not signing up to CRNR?
Yes. If you look at page 31,
section 27.
$250 for a first offense, $500 for a second violation within a year, 1,000 for a third or subsequent violation within a year.
Yeah, is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Now, the idea is that Brent's going to help us collect this data. That's the whole reason we're doing this, is because now everybody, we can say to the county, hey, it's mandatory. All this data we're handing you from CRNR is accurate because it's mandatory.
Right. Because we're bumping up against the state of California recycling.
That's right. Cal Recycle.
Yeah, Cal Recycle.
That helps fulfill that obligation.
And this is for their climate change reporting.
Well, it is.
It's for their reporting.
It is.
Without a doubt, the state of California is driving this.
Right. Yeah. Right.
This is not something that the board has initiated out of whole cloth. This is something that that has been foisted upon the district by the state.
Right.
We're complying with the mandate, basically.
Right.
Okay, and so we just need to give direction to Al to start the public hearing on this, right?
Not so much a public hearing. It's
public. The public posting.
The publication.
Right.
As set forth in Section 29. Section 29 on page 32 and Section 25 on page 44. Does not require a formal motion at this point. But it will require a formal motion next time. It'll be a roll call vote.
Okay.
If adopted, then that would not take effect for 30 days after adoption.
Right. Okay.
June.
So you have to post it 5 days before the next board meeting.
Well, it'll be published 5 days.
Published, I mean. Yeah.
Summary. So we'll need to prepare a summary and then publish that 5 days in advance.
Okay.
Both ordinances should be posted 15 days in advance here.
Okay. Are you guys good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Any public comments on that? No? Okay. Thank you. Item 14, District Reserve Policy Resolution 2019-01. Oh, I don't know where we left off on this.
I think where we left off, I want to jump in for Al here, but where we left off is Al had presented a draft reserve policy to the board
in January.
In January. And the board then directed me to review it and make changes to it as necessary, which I did in the recital of the document. As far as the salient provisions of the document, those are more or less discretionary to the board as far as what
the actual policy will be.
And so the board had, I think, a brief conversation about it at your last meeting.
I completely forgot about this, and I did not understand the formula. And so I was thinking of really simplifying it, just saying, okay, we're just going to take a percentage of whatever the gross is.
That's because it was a little confusing because a lot of the data that was in this was from Phelan.
Yeah.
And not tailored to our small little budget.
And so doing that it's having a reserve policy is one that's authorized under the Community Services District Act. What that policy looks like is completely up to you.
Yeah, I wanted it to be really simple. You know, something really simple that we could just look at and say, hey, it's 1% of the gross and it goes into this.
Right.
But, you know, make it something just dead simple.
Because these also talk about accumulated amount of depreciation from the physical plan of the district's general system. I've never seen any of that stuff. You know, in our financials or that, you know, I don't think we could even come up with that. I agree in the sense of just...
Well, I'd like to... It's my fault. I was supposed to look at this, and I didn't. I'd like to punt on this if I can.
Yeah.
Till next month. I just did not take a close look at it.
Again, the idea here is, I think, as Al had indicated, that this is really a template document.
Mm-hmm.
And so the board should not feel tied to to the to the language other than the part that I drafted.
Which part was that?
The recital, all the recital.
Okay.
Up until
page
top of page two.
Right.
Yeah.
There wasn't really any direction given as to what to do, so I'll basically took the feeling model. But beyond that, it's really up to the board to decide.
And you can vary it, from time to time. To give you an example down in Feeling, they had established one form of upload for what they had and decided that they had to adjust it. And so they adjusted it down because of some other events that came on. So, definitely something you can work.
Yeah. Okay. Let's put it off until next month. Okay. So I can take a look at it. Any public comments on this? Okay. All right. 15. Park and Recreation Event Coordinator Contractor. And I think we got a resume here.
So I'll just give a little report. I'm speaking on behalf of Michelle Snyder and myself, but we put together a little report for you up here. But basically, we posted the job application online, and we got 10 resumes come in. We narrowed those down to probably 4 good resumes, and we ended up interviewing 2 candidates. And tonight, we brought 1 resume forward as a recommendation for the person who we would like to hire if the board wishes, and that's Monica Ciccarelli. She is here tonight to answer any questions if the board has additional questions.
When can you start? No, I think it's a great recommendation. Of course, Monica, she's perfect. Perfect in my estimation. I mean, I know her already, so that's, I'm a little biased maybe, but she's very enthusiastic. I should be a great choice.
And for the crowd, Monica's resume includes experience in coordinating programs that are similar to programs that we hope to grow here in the future. Those include the organizing the softball league with myself, also being the Wrightwood Elementary Ski School co-coordinator, the committee chair for the Wrightwood Cub Scouts, and a Wrightwood PTG parent volunteer at the school. And all of those things she's been involved in have taken a lot of event coordinating and planning, and Michelle and I both felt very confident in the fact that she could step right in and get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen what she's did with the softball leagues along with you, Natalie. Got a couple questions. Number one, what are we looking at as far as the pay, starting pay? We're looking at $17 to $22 an hour is the range.
That's right.
Do we have any recommendations as far as where you'd want to start her as far as the total dollar amount?
Michelle and I actually wanted to ask the board that tonight. We were talking maybe around $19.50 just to meet in the middle, but we wanted to ask the board how they felt.
Okay. And then my other comment on this as far as scope of the work and that, we had talked from the minute Leo presented this way back when, but part of the responsibilities would be for this person to cover the salary. And in the sense of new programs coming in, that there'd be additional money coming in that would cover that, if it's $17,000 or $14,000 or $15,000, whatever. And in looking at the budget that we had on the last few pages, they were talking about $17,000, which was the
high end,
the 22. But when I was looking at this, we had talked about, what was it, $11,000 as far as the income from the sports, and you had craft on there. But that, depending on where we're on in the salary, that would leave another $5,000 out there that you would have to create in order to cover that aspect of it. And I had asked the question, I don't know, a month or so ago at the other meeting, of what happens if she's not creating revenue, that it's just variances for us to use the building or whatever. And I was told, oh, no, no, that's part of the responsibility, is that she covers her salary type of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, so I didn't see that anywhere in here is all I'm saying, on the scope, that type of thing. And then the other portion is in Al's description on the staff, wherever it is, that this person would work with the staff, which I would assume is Al and Tammy and Jamie, whoever that is, if they needed those people to help work or whatever. Well, that's a salary, and where that's going to go is into that 80 hours a week or the 20 hours a week or whatever, and that should be kicked in as far as an expense is my point. You know, I'm not against it one way or another. I think Monica would be a great addition to the staff and the CSD because it would be under the board. But I think those should be spelled out somewhere so that, you know, we know that there has to be programs that come in to cover that salary.
Is there a certain cap or something that you would put on? Like for example, if Monica said, hey, we need the CSD staff for 4 hours a week, or you know, mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, shouldn't we have some kind of cap on that, or some kind of, because it could turn into the kind of thing where it's Chuck's right, where it can just do an end around on mm-hmm. the budget.
So the way I was seeing it is that Monica would have to come once a month, or whomever took the job would have to come monthly, and they would have to pre-plan the events and the programs that they would be having that month, and they would have to have, you know, an open line of communication with Al and say, this is what I need. I might need the employees for this day, for this many hours, and plan that in advance, at least a month in advance, so that we, you know, Al could say, yes, I can provide that, or no, I can't, or not provide it, but allow the employees to help Al.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that her salary is covered. If she's using the other one, that's Al's budget,
mm-hmm.
you know, that goes against that aspect of it. So I'm not expecting the Parks and Rec coordinator to cover those salaries too.
And I get where you're going, Chuck, on this, and I completely support what you're saying, but we also need to create something.
Oh,
I think we've got the right person to do the right job. And if she's accountable to the board that comes here once a month and presents,
right,
this is the budget going on, this is what we're doing next month, this is what we're going to do with, you know, flag football or whatever, I think going forward, I see some excitement coming up.
Oh, I think it's a great, great thing, and I think Monica will do a great job. I'm just coming from the financial aspect of, folks, let's make sure we're covering what we said we were going to do
yeah.
up front. And in reading the material, I didn't see anywhere where it said that.
Yeah.
I know we've had other people that would like to get part of that revenue from the sports league. And the reality is we had said, yeah, let's do it. It should be good for the community. But they need to, as an independent contractor, they need to cover their salary
mm-hmm.
with new programs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, we did include that in our report. It's just not listed in the scope of work, but that while we interviewed Monica, she had the understanding that she would have to generate income-producing activities to cover
right.
her. And also, where was it? I think it answered another question. And just the fact that she has a good understanding of the CSD budget and, you know, the limitations.
Right. Well, I'm looking at what they put in for revenue, which was $11,000-something for the revenue. The expenses they had down, that was the umpires and a miscellaneous expense and that type of thing, was $4,500. Okay. And I'm not talking about that expense aspect of it. I'm just talking about the salary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, you know, I'm looking at, we're looking at $5,000 that you will need to create in order to cover that aspect of it initially, you know, and hopefully it would I agree with you, Leo, hopefully it would grow,
yep.
it would become something special, and I think I'd vote for it only if you sign up for the flag football.
I'm telling you. six customers come in every week. One of the black football stars.
Now we can change the hourly anytime we want, right? It's a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we could do something such as start off at a certain rate, do a review.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Have a review 3 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, well, how's she doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then do it based on that.
Okay.
That's performance based.
Right.
Yeah,
and based on, you know, what we've done with our staff, you know, 15 hours per week could get blown out very quickly, depending on how many programs you create and that type of stuff. You know, that's just reality. And so I don't want to hold it to that.
So what's the hourly range again?
It's 17 to 22 at 15 hours per week.
Yeah,
this was the supplementary that passed out.
See, I would like to start at 17 and have a 3 month review.
Well, that would be good, but we've also got somebody with experience, so I'm not sure if starting at the low end with the experience. I don't want to go to the high end, but I think what you were talking about as far as in between. Maybe the 18 or 19.
Yeah, but to President Zuber's point, I think the scale piece of it would be very beneficial, not only for the board and the budget, but it also would help her inspire even more to get more revenue in.
Yeah, that's certainly a point of view. Are we giving her enough time to create that stuff within 3 months?
Let's ask her.
She's already got something going.
She's got some
papers. Oh, no, this is your end. I'm just holding it.
Okay.
No, I was just going to answer some of your questions.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and say. If a program does require 4 hours of ALS employees, that would be considered in the cost for the program. And so the program expenses would cover that, and that wouldn't be considered the revenue to go towards. If I were to get the position.
Are you going to be able to keep track of that, Al? Separately?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be something that I would have to talk with Al and see, are they available, and we'd have to consider their pay and the cost of actually what we would be charging.
Okay.
Right.
So. Is 3 months enough time? Let's say we instituted this model where we said, hey, let's start off at 17, and then we have a review to see how the performance is going. Is 3 months enough time to evaluate that?
I mean, I know we already have softball underway. I'm hoping to get a couple other programs in the process.
Okay.
I think it just depends on what the first program's doing, but I do plan on coming out with ideas right away.
Okay.
I don't plan on sitting on nothing.
Right.
I'm like, no.
So does 3 months seem like enough time?
Yeah, I'll take the challenge.
Okay.
I would highly, highly recommend that you figure out how to get flag football in, given the fact Director Clark has asked that about the last four meetings.
Yes, there is. I mean, with the children's events, it does take a little bit more to figure out because you have to start getting adults that are background checked. And
right.
It does take a little bit more. I don't know if having children's events within 3 months, I would like to see those by fall.
Right.
But you do have, there's a little bit more to consider. Whereas adult stuff, you can just go out and pretty much anybody can kind of show up and do things. But once you get children involved, you have to make sure.
Now, the softball, you had a registration fee.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had
team sponsor.
The team sponsor. But did they have the insurance individual for the softball players, or did we pick that up?
The insurance was covered under the CSC insurance,
yeah.
But they didn't charge anything extra. I think it was a $50 thing for the
sport. They ran like $50 for our additional insurance on the school district.
That's great.
But the players themselves, we don't cover the players.
No. They sign a liability waiver.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
My insurance covered my shirt. My shoulder.
Okay, so the action here would be to
To hire.
To hire as a contractor and establish the rate.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And Monica, do you want? Yeah. And Monica, did you want to speak to your insurance research you've done?
Yeah. The insurance that you guys had recommended, that the liability for running the programs. I got some quotes, and it looks like the best quote is $500 a year.
For you as an independent contractor.
For me as an independent contractor, yeah.
So that was a question in the beginning, was
right.
Whether someone would take the position.
Yeah, so it would be $500 for, I think it was $495 to be a little more precise. And then I know I was talking to my tax person about it, and she was not fully 100% sure, but she was saying that there was also a tax or a fee, I guess, because I'd be considered like my own business to be the contracted employee.
Mm-hmm.
So I could run $800 to $1,200 on top of that.
Oh, for an LLC or something?
Corporation.
We're
kind of trying to figure that out. And
yeah, that sounds like an LLC.
Right.
Yeah.
Just for being a 1099 employee of so much money. I've never been a 1099 employee, so I can't.
Well, you can do a 1099 as a sole proprietor.
Yeah.
But as was mentioned, an LLC is probably a little safer debt free. But
maybe I don't.
There, yeah.
Well, yours, Steve, the one you drafted. I mean, it had workers' comp, it had general liability, under the insurances that we as a CSD would require from that independent contractor. There was a lot of different things on that.
There was.
And.
And some of that would.
It was a little overkill.
Overkill.
Yeah.
Some of that was overkill. I think professional liability was certainly overkill. Property coverage for valuable papers.
Yeah.
Is overkill. The workers' comp language. There is something that I could add that if you have no employees, then.
There isn't any workers'
comp. There isn't anything.
Right.
The general liability is up to the board, and the automobile liability, I don't know.
Would the workers' comp, if she happened to use the staff?
No.
Because we're covered under.
We're covered.
We're covered under workers' comp
right.
for the staff, correct?
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we need any other stuff.
Automobile liability, no?
No.
What about general liability?
No.
No. And no workers. So no, essentially no insurance.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions for us, Monica?
Okay. You guys want to do?
I have one question. That's probably for Mr. Kennedy. But is there any situation where, when she's using staff, about her giving direction to staff?
I think that's a fair question. And I guess the question is as...
That's just kind of run throughout, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's really one more for the board, is to... the relationship that Monica would have with Al and with the general and with staff. My suggestion would be because Monica wouldn't have any ability to discipline any staff. That's really the general manager's role. That everything probably should be funneled through the general manager.
But I would say this: if we could. Logistically, make this a bit easier so Al doesn't have to, you know, we don't want to create a situation where, you know, just having a simple conversation becomes tortured.
No, I know, and that's kind of, in that.
Well, let me ask Al if I can pick up the bats. You know, we don't want that kind of thing. I mean,
right.
We could, what we could do, I think, instead is say, if we think ahead, Monica says, you know, I really need them for 2 hours. Let's just say, well, I don't know, but let's just say it's 2 hours. Al would then get a general idea of what they're going to do, and he'd turn them over to Monica for the details and talk to them directly and do those things directly. Why couldn't we do that? I mean, if they say no, I don't want to do that, or something like that, well, hey, they said no. It's nothing.
I mean, as someone who also is a consultant, who is contracted directly with the board but works with your staff, I haven't had that issue arise, and I'm hopeful that that issue doesn't arise here.
I don't see
obviously,
why.
Reasonableness and common goal to do something positive for the community should hopefully overweigh sort of the power struggle. And I've talked with Monica after meetings for a year, and she's fantastic. So I just don't anticipate that scenario.
Well, it's up to Al, of course, but we would want Al to give a lot of freedom to the people that Monica needs, so just so we can communicate, right? But to be fair to Al, I think you'd have to say, I need them for this. You'd have to think that it would not just be ad hoc, right? It would never be ad hoc.
Correct. And I believe that Monica and I could have a pre-event meeting.
Like a pre-con,
exactly the roles of who and what.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would that be all right? Okay. Okay. All right. So, what are we supposed to do here, Steve? Are we supposed to, is there an action on this, or are we supposed to?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you talk directly to the board, right? So. Mm-hmm.
So the proposed action would be to retain rather than hire Monica to serve as the park and recreation event coordinator at a rate of what
17,
and then to direct me to prepare a revised version of the contract consistent with the direction that you give.
Not only the rate, but also a review after 3 months?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we don't necessarily need
to put that on the contract.
We don't need to include that in the contract. That could be part of the motion, certainly. But we wouldn't necessarily need to include that in the contract.
Are you guys okay with that? Is there any different thoughts on the rate? You don't have to go with just what I say.
I'd like to start a little higher. I think she's got more experience.
Okay.
What do you
want to do?
Michelle and I were at 1950, but if that seems a little high, I mean, it could maybe 18.
18. Okay.
Yeah, that splits the baby. 18's okay.
Okay. All right, so.
Also, I have language in here about software. That's not going to be part of anything.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
So I can remove that.
Yeah.
I think John has a question.
Hi, John. Come on up to the mic.
Could we have public comments before you
take
a vote on anything?
Sure.
Yes, John Lanou. We've talked about this for over a year, and now we've come to the point where we have a prospective person to be this coordinator, director. And I hear this evening from the board that her income would be derived from the sports league funds. And I heard nothing about part of the CSC budget going towards her wages. Has there been any consideration for that? In other words, if she completely depletes the sports league funds by her income, then there's nothing left for the community. We talked about, as Director Zuber over a year ago mentioned, that maybe half the sports league funds could go to other entities in the community, and half of the sports league funds would go towards the wages, salary of this coordinator. So has there been any consideration of 50-50 budget and sports league, or is sports league funds going to be depleted and the community doesn't get anything out of it?
Well, I think the community gets a lot out of it. For one thing, the whole idea is to create a lot more activity. You know, the baseball was very successful last year,
right?
Well, I'm talking about funding only. You know, it's a great, great system, and Monica will be a great leader. And so, yeah, I agree with all of that. It's just how are we going to pay his or her wages, and what's it going to come out of? And how much is going to be left for the community out of the sports league funds? You know, if we need something for the Wrightwood Village Trail or another organization that comes along and needs funding, you know, is there going to be anything left, or is it all going to be sucked up in salary?
No, the whole idea is that this is that Monica is going to create revenue from this.
Yeah,
that's we're taking a bet on that.
And one of the things that we had talked about, John, with the property owners taking over the village trail, and we had talked, because I specifically said it in the property owners meeting, is that they're going to have to go out and fundraise and do those type of acquiring the funds for the village trail that the CSD, I didn't believe, was going to be able to do any funding for that trail. When Wes put that out a year ago or whenever it was, we were looking at a budget or a positive $140,000, and then as we went along and things changed and the whole bit, because I originally talked about doing a donation, and what did you tell me it had to be, Steve? A different name other than donation, a contribution or
contribution.
Something like that. But that was discussion that nothing was voted on or any of that type of stuff originally.
Well, plus the fact that we didn't, Leo came up with the idea of the coordinator after this had been kicked around for months about,
right,
you know, about having some funds left over for the community.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, thanks, John. Okay, so we want to do...
One other blank that I noticed in the agreement is term, and how long you want, if you want to put a specific end date on the term of the agreement.
Well, it's at will anyways, right?
Well, again, trying to avoid employment-related terms.
But at will can also describe a contract or a relationship.
You have the ability to terminate on 10 days' notice.
Yeah.
That's on both sides. She has the ability to terminate on 30-day notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would...
Sooner or later, we're going to put in a clause or whatever for a review, I would think. See how she's doing, whether it's...
We're going to have a three-month review. All right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have a three-month review, and the term is 10 days, and then we have 10 days to cancel if we want to.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Is there any other action we need to take?
Just a motion and a second.
Okay. All right.
I give a motion that we hire Monica Ciccarelli for the Parks and Recreation Coordinator, starting at $18 an hour. I don't need to put in the review date on that, do I?
Yeah, and a review in 3 months.
Okay. That's the motion.
I'll second the motion. Can I second?
Yes.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries.
Welcome, Monica, wherever you are.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Okay, item 16, capital improvement plan. So we gave some direction on this, Al. Do you have any comments on this?
Well, uniquely enough, the day after our last board meeting, the roof leaked.
Yes.
But I've had some inspections done by contractors.
Okay.
That's reflective of what we have in here. For the roof of this facility, part of the roof was done. He doesn't know when exactly, but it's still in pretty good shape, part over the kitchen and over here.
Right.
The rest of it's pretty much in need of being replaced sometime this year.
I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
And
but we haven't gotten any quotes or dollar amount.
I didn't put out for a bid or anything, Beth.
Okay.
But he gave me a ballpark of 18.5 on that, and I think that's essentially less than what I had before.
I think he had 25.
I think we're around 25.
Yeah.
And I did put this information here about prevailing wage. And is that still applicable way it is? Because I pulled that off the website. And I just want to make sure that it's still applicable. Because I thought the low end was a 2,500 and not 1,000.
No, that's right.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. That language is right. It talks about labor compliance program.
Right.
And that would, if the district were to adopt a labor compliance program, that would kick up the threshold for prevailing wage. But that language looks good to me.
Okay.
Okay. I was just trying to get clarity on that.
So it's 18.5 is pretty, that seems like a good price, actually.
Is that prevailing wage, right?
Is that a tear off?
No.
This is built yet. So this is only, this only has one.
Right. We have one layer on right now. Okay. And he would cover it.
Okay.
And then the service shed and the outside restrooms have some sections that need to be replaced. I kind of threw that all into the one price for the server shed needs a lot of work. The rain has deteriorated a lot of the siding.
Yeah.
The roof is going. The door is going. Now, it just needs a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it is a server shed, so if we had to piecemeal a little here and piecemeal a little bit there,
mm-hmm.
I'm more than willing to do that. It's not like this facility.
Now, about that grant, mm-hmm. is that grant money for this building and the roof?
It could be, yeah. I'm gonna put it in.
When we do or apply for the grant, do we have to get specific as far as what we'd want to use
Absolutely.
That money for?
Absolutely.
In the initial application.
Mm-hmm. And when are they going to award the grant?
August.
On August.
At the earliest.
Wow.
So when do you have to tell them exactly what you want to do in the grant by?
I have to have the paperwork in by August.
Okay.
Let me kind of step back a little bit. There are a couple of little caveats, such as getting the resolution in. I think it's by May 15th or 12th, something like that. other than that, then as we go forward on the process, August is the deadline. August 1st, it's got to be in, it's got to be stamped, it's got to be ready to go. At that point, we're going to be able to have several communications with them already on some other issues that they got developed into this. So the cleaner we make it look, the cleaner we make our grants, the quicker it is for them to get through their process. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
You
the
know?
Simpler it is, more straightforward it is.
Exactly.
Boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Cover all the bases very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we can do that.
Yeah. I know you can, too.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Because the ones that they have problems with are the people who are,
They overcomplicate it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we don't have anything complicated here.
Right. Okay.
Because some of this here, capital improvement,
a lot of it is.
Could be a part of that.
And that's where I want to go with it.
Okay.
All right, so there's nothing to do in this right now. We're just...
Is there anything for us to take a look at here then, going forward, or just the numbers? What's your thought process here?
At this point right here, I think we need to kind of sit on these things. The only thing that has some immediacy, some real immediacy, would be the security camera system. You know, we all know about the front door.
Well, I can help a lot with the security system on the camera system. You mean repairing this one or a new one? I think we need a new one, right?
Yeah.
But I've got experience with this, and I got gear and all that.
No,
so it wouldn't be too bad. The CSD would have to buy the hardware, the out of pocket stuff. The cameras themselves, the server and all that to run that is not too expensive. The key for any kind of camera system is using very high res cameras. People
right.
make mistakes by not using these high res cameras, and they go, "Well, I see the guy, but I can't tell much about him."
Right.
And it's just not very good resolution. So,
well, I know that you with your systems that you use at your site and everything are very good.
They're great cameras.
Great.
But all the money is in the server and putting that together. So that's it there. I can help with that. We can save a lot of dollars on that.
As long as it works, along with that, I
yeah.
don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
But like some of the other stuff, I mean, we can just kind of a lot of the stuff I want to be able to do in house, you know, with my own staff,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a few volunteers that I think are going to be able to be available then
mm-hmm.
to help with the like a replacement of the door or something like that.
Right. Okay.
And thanks for getting us a head start on. The capital improvement, it helps with the grant now, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. How many cameras do you think we need?
I think it was 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would we use any for the... museum and firehouse?
I don't have anything set for that.
I mean, the system, the cameras are really inexpensive. It's the, like I said, it's the server I would put together. It would, you know, there's not a lot of difference between 7 cameras and 20. So it would be able to do 20.
Well, like the museum, it's got some stuff you'd want to protect, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Okay.
John's up.
Oh, hi, John.
Mm-hmm. I might mention that at the museum, we currently have 4 cameras on site, but they're relatively inexpensive. But anyhow, so they do function 24/7 and record. So, there was talk when before the CSD came along that the county did not want a camera in the meeting room. We do have AA and NA in there, and maybe that might be an infringement on their rights.
Correct.
So that might be something to think about. And the other question I had was,
yeah.
Do the 7 cameras include, didn't we get one at the skateboard park and one out here outside the restaurant?
They'd be replacing that.
They'd be replacing all that system.
Right.
So just thought I'd bring that up.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
That's a good thought.
Because there is one. That skateboard park, right?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
There, though.
Well, are we done now? Oh, Michelle!
Glad
you
oh, hey, Michelle.
Sorry, guys.
All right. Oh, turn.
Snow traffic.
Well, the timing's perfect. Okay, item. There's nothing to do there though, except for all the stuff we talked about. And item 17, 2019-20 budget review. What are we doing on this?
I think we got to push it until we meet with Cecilia. There's too many questions.
We're running out of time.
I understand that, but it's tough to approve something when.
When is our?
24th.
I know, but when is our deadline for the budget?
We have to.
We're already late.
We're already late. this is not a approved tonight. This is a to look things over and get an idea where things are, and you may want to adjust. We need to have a pretty set budget by May, because by the June meeting we have to have it approved so that we can kick the budget in July.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything, why wouldn't we approve the budget?
Yeah, we can. I don't like the unknown.
What's unknown?
A bunch of the different categories, our staff is unknown to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The revenue is unknown to me.
Okay.
What specifically?
Well, the revenue would be basically the Parks and Rec. If we are going to say, her salary is covered, then there should be at least $5,000 under Parks and Rec on the revenue side, whether we have a program or not. That's part of the budget that needs to, that we have to cover. And
but we don't need Cecilia for that, though.
No.
Okay.
No, not on that one.
Okay.
We can just add it. And some of the stuff that we went through, I think I had bad judgment initially on the projected aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. The solid waste and the taxes, not sure.
Well, the solid waste and the taxes are, I understand the total. The total is right. The total of that is right. The breakdown is not right.
The category.
Yeah, has a breakdown.
Right.
Or
63?
Well, 63 is the breakdown of all of our funding.
Because
the top part says revenue.
Yeah.
But because President Zuber had some questions about the percentage of that was dump card and property, I went through all the.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah, I went through every one of those that we get from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Of course, for me, I can't find it. Right.
So the special assessment is 232, is what you're saying here?
Correct.
Franchise fee is $87,000. But where's the property tax? Oh, okay, down here, 125.
Mm-hmm. Every account of property tax.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Let's see how that.
There it is.
Okay.
Yeah, facility rental at $20,000 is there.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost. We're in line with that.
Mm-hmm.
We came a little bit short of it last year.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in line with that right now. We're at like 16.5. Mm-hmm. With a couple months left, we'll be right around 20. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm ready to approve the budget if you want to make an adjustment to the.
I mean, we can approve it as long as we can read.
Yeah, we can
do it.
We can.
In the future.
Sure.
Of course.
We can. Yeah.
And fine.
Well, again, wet blanket. As far as approval goes, it does require a public hearing, which means that notice needs to be published once a week for 2 weeks prior to adoption.
Right. Okay. This isn't a public meeting now?
It's a public meeting, but it hasn't been
this is just a
published as a public hearing.
Okay.
Which requires the public hearing. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No, it requires publication in the newspaper.
Right, and posting here in the building.
And posting in the building.
Okay. And a website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Do we or don't we?
We do.
That's all of your typical
public meeting process is under the Sunshine Ordinance.
Okay.
Public hearing requires an additional step of publication in the newspaper once a week for 2 weeks prior to.
Okay.
I wonder when that will go away and it'll just be on the internet, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
soon
archaic.
It's going to be, I would think. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is there any... I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go,
I was just going to ask if we could have the public hearing before next month's board meeting beforehand.
Well, we have it at the board meeting.
Yeah, you have it at the...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It just needs to be... It needs to be start to be posted now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Once a week.
If you want to, and, you know, it's totally a suggestion, you can accept it the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Look at things next month. If there's an adjustment to be made, we can make that adjustment and then go forward with the public hearing. That's up to you.
But don't we have to repost it if we do something like that?
Well, you say delay that process.
Oh, delay that process.
Yeah, we don't need to post it right there.
Right, maybe let's get it over with.
Yeah, is there anything you want to add on there, Chuck?
No.
No. Okay. Let's
schedule it for a public
let's
hearing.
Let's do it, yeah.
Your meeting in May.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Thanks, Al.
No problem. Thank you.
Public comment?
I have a question.
Sure.
Name?
My name is Lori Golden. Are you guys saying that this is the budget for next year?
Right.
Okay, because I'm reading this as the budget projection for 2018-2019. Shouldn't this be the budget projection for 2019-2020?
There's another section, huh?
Page 60.
Well,
that says 19. It says budget,
yeah.
Which page are you looking at where it says that?
Page 60.
Page 60.
Okay, page 63 off of this shows district from 19-20.
Okay.
We're trying to save money copying on both sides, but it's very difficult.
It's difficult when you're trying to look something up.
On page 63. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Yeah. 63. Yeah, we're using a template from the other one, so sorry about that.
Well, what it did is it provided the past two budgets.
Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. So we want to start the process then.
Okay. Thank you.
Okie doke. Okay, item 18, future board meeting, May 7th. Is that when it would be?
Correct.
6:30?
6:30.
Okay. Sounds good.
If I may, the general manager's staff report indicated that there would be the dump card fee would likely be coming out early. As the board will recall, every year you have to readopt the resolution setting for that special assessment. So
right.
We should think about tying the adoption of that into the timing of when you're, rather than issuing the dump cards and then being in a position where you're kind of after the fact.
Well, we could put it on the agenda for next month, right?
That's what I'm
okay.
suggesting. Is for the board to consider the timing of that in connection with the dump card issue.
Okay. Sure. We'll put it on next month's agenda.
Could they go out when, in June. The May, Al? Or in the June?
Excuse me?
June.
Dump cards go out in the
middle. About mid-June.
Mid-June. So we could probably even put it on the June agenda. May is looking too packed.
If it is, well, let's put it on the May agenda, and if it does look too big, we'll cross it off and do it in June.
So that also requires public hearing.
That's right.
All of that.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Wet blanket.
Get out of here.
Keep us in line. Does that mean I get a big bill and just get on before? Hear me, hear me.
Man. Okay. Okay.
You want me to start?
Okay. Director's comments. Any comments, Leo?
Yeah, I have a couple of them. Al, on the bathrooms, what time do they close on the weekends?
Around 6 to 7.
So the challenge of that is it's later now, and we have baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And all the little leaguers up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we can do with that situation, but the bathrooms being closed at 6 o'clock, and they're out there until 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, we also got to take into consideration that staff that closes that, you know, they're having to come back to do that, and 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, they might not have a Saturday Night Live. You know?
I'm just looking out for the public here, because I had a number of complaints from little leaguers about they're going to the bathroom at 6:15 and everything's locked up.
We really need those automatic doors.
Do they have an a porta potty? We used to have one during little league season.
That's something I think Little League provided on their own, and then we did as the CSD for the adult softball league too. But as of right now, there is no porta potty out there.
Would it be possible for the bathrooms, sorry, Monica Chigrelli, to maybe see if maybe the president of Little League could have a key and voluntarily lock it up at the end of the day? Or is that not an option? I know the reason with the porta potties is the companies they've used in the past will no longer lend to them because of vandalism. And then another company was offering them way too high of a price, and so they were trying to lift into more prices. And I'm not even sure if the president would be willing, but I just figured I'd see if there was another option. Maybe there could be one person from the Wrightwood Little League that could maybe have
seems reasonable to me.
Is it, you all right with that, Al, if we did that?
I'm just thinking about it. I don't see a problem with it.
Okay.
You know, sometimes the person that locks up, if there's a really big mess right there, and that can happen, they usually clean it right then. But other than that...
Oh, otherwise you'll get a surprise in the morning.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you don't want to have sit all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And self-locking bathrooms...
With the Little League...
I don't know if any...
I'm not actually on the board or anything.
Yeah.
I can reach out to them.
Yeah, I think that's fair if we say, hey, you know, if we leave it open and there's a great big mess, you got to take care of it. That'd be part of the deal.
I'll talk to him.
Okay.
I'll reach out to him.
Okay. All right, any...
That's all I have.
Okay. Right. Anything, Natalie?
No.
Yeah?
I would like to welcome our new coordinator for Parks and Rec. Looking forward to seeing what you can do and what kind of programs we're looking for.
All right. She's going to be great.
I second that.
Any comments, Michelle?
I got to catch up.
Questions? Okay. All right. With all that, meeting adjourned.